I'm Ted Baker, and this is the Hobart Lacrosse Podcast, episode 95, midweek edition, with Hobart traveling to Syracuse to take on the Lemoyne Dolphins, 3 o'clock game on Tuesday. We're back with the head coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted.
17-12 loss at the Poole Family Dome Saturday to UAlbany. Let's again step back, take a look at the big picture. The big picture is using these pre-league games to get ready for the A-10 and to be a better team. Did you see some signs of that happening in that game?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, this isn't, you know, this isn't a charity show, Ted. I mean, we went out there to win that game, but you know, I think from the challenges we provided from one week to the next, we certainly saw from the bulk of that game, the team that we know and love. I mean, certainly some mistakes in, you know, some defensive strategies or early offense for Albany, but I also thought, I thought Albany shot the crap out of the ball, and you know, number one for them, had an exceptional game. You know, unfortunately, it's against Hobart where he gets into that groove. But you know, anytime you shoot, 9 for 10, that your team's got a pretty good opportunity to win. But you know, I think to answer your question, you know, we're going into today with great optimism from the bounce back and understanding, you know, what these next 2 weeks could look like for us. If we are mature in our perspective, if we have poise emotionally, and if we actually did make that transition to that crossroads I told you about after Robert Morris, because in the one game, just from an effort and a toughness and a willing to sacrifice standpoint, it was the team we know and love. And on top of that, if we can keep capitalizing on, you know, being underwhelming on power play, if we can change those scenarios, if we can be better when short sticks are dodging behind the goal defensively, if we can, you know, continue to limit transition opportunities with teams that aren't as dynamic in transition as Albany, we're talking about giving up less goals a game, which is a, you know, a big priority for us. So we aren't happy, Ted, but I, you know, I'm very proud of the way that our guys responded this week. And if you break this film down with some X's and O's intellect, there's just tons of good. And you know, I think this is one of the first games this season that we feel like we got beat and we didn't lose based on inopportune scenarios or inopportune plays or a lack of toughness here or a lack of this there. I felt like they scored more goals than us. And that's just something we have to adjust tactically on the defensive end.
It was another one of those two segment games. First 13 minutes, you're down 4 goals. Last 47 minutes, you're even. You're down just by 1. So again, we're looking for that whole 60 minutes.
Yeah, you know, Ted, I don't know if you find – you look throughout the country, find a team that plays well for 60 minutes. You know, I don't know if it's there. You know, I think if we stay focused for 60 minutes. There are plays that will happen throughout the course of this game that, especially against an opportunistic team like the one we played on Saturday, that we have to find solutions for. And I think, you know, there are ways to look at this, you know, positively, especially in that we can win the ball back at the faceoff X often. And, you know, I think our offense adding more elements to, well, we talked about that as a coaching staff today. Let's not figure out how to change a bunch of stuff. Let's add to this. Let's add to elements that make us better in scenarios where we need key stops or we need key goals. Let's not just leave it up to our offense and our defensive decision-making. That we've shown that we're not necessarily great in those moments, Ted, just from a decision-making standpoint. So let's make some decisions for them in those moments. And let's put in defenses that are ready to do this no matter what, if this scenario happens. Let's put in an offense that's ready to do X, Y, and Z if we definitely need a great opportunity or scoring opportunity for, let's get the ball to Rosie in space. Let's get the ball to Deli in space. Let's get the da-da-da. So, you know, we're talking about ways where we can add to this product. But I love the fact that, you know, we essentially get embarrassed. This is what this thing's all about, Ted. We have a poor showing two Saturdays ago. And our guys look us dead in the eye and do everything we ask throughout the course of a week and play a much better game the following Saturday against a much better team. You know, I think it's important to understand. I do believe Albany's a good roster, and I think they've got good players. So, I'm again very optimistic of what's coming down the road here these next couple of weeks and our ability to create some momentum going into league play.
You mentioned their shooting. I totaled it up. Their top five shooters had 40 shots, 32 of them on target. How much of that is defense not preventing good shots, and how much of it is just some hot hands?
You know, I think there's a little bit of both in this game, but it's more the latter. You know, we were I mean, if you watch a couple of clips, we talked a lot about what they do from wing to wing in early offense, meaning one skipping the ball to 15, 15 skipping the ball to one, or 88 and 8 on that bottom right pipe, and how we need to defend early because when they're covered, it doesn't matter with this team. And that's what Albany shows you is, I mean, they scored a bunch of goals when our guys did essentially the right things. And I mean, there's one goal with in the second quarter where Brady Camella is draped on number one outside the hash marks at a low angle, and he catches and shoots in the blink of an eye. So, and you're also talking about a scenario where I thought our goalie was making some pretty good saves. I know you'll touch on that a little bit, Ted, but so I thought again, I think that Albany did a really good job of executing in tight spaces. And, you know, I think I would say the game, the gap in that scoring that leans their way, those are coming from contested shot opportunities. So, I do think they played pretty well.
Ellis Wilson made his first start of the season in goal, 20 saves. I mean, that's a lot of saves to make. You can't really ask a guy to stop 30 shots in a game.
No. And keep in mind what the Dome promotes, Ted. I mean, it's high paced in there. You know, there's go back and think of a game where not one of the teams didn't have over 15 goals. It's just what that place promotes. The up and down, everybody's body's feeling good. You know, it's warm. It's you know, I'm not sure how great the goalies see everything, or it's an environment that promotes running and gunning, and the team we played is good at it. So the and so are we. So you know, I think the idea of who Ellis was in that day is, I mean, he got the player of the day for us. We put him in a tough scenario, and he handled it really well. You know, and I think Jack is, you know, working out any details or body ailments he may have, and it's just where we're at in the season, man. We told Ellis on Thursday, we're like, "Hey, buddy, I think this is yours this weekend." And you know, he smiled big, gave me a huge hug, and said, "Let's do it." So, you know, Ellis is Ellis. Like I've complimented him on this podcast 400 times, and can't say enough about his readiness and his ability to compete, and also, again, just how supportive he's been for Jack and vice versa on Saturday. So we're lucky to have those two.
I remember in the last scrimmage, he stopped 9 of 10 shots, and I thought he was just moving better than he did last year, side to side, and getting down low and stopping the low shots better.
Oh, it's all about how you approach it. I mean, does he feel like there's pressure on him, or doesn't he? Does he have a short memory, or doesn't he? You know, I can't tell you these things, Ted. These are, I mean, and our guys, you know, they communicate with us like we're mom and dad. It's, you know, how are you? Good. You know, how's your day? Fine. You know, I mean, they don't spit anything out. So especially from a goaltending standpoint, if you're in there to compete and play, you play better. And I think from whatever circumstances that Ellis has gone through leading up to this point, I felt like he was pretty clear-headed going into that game.
You mentioned it earlier. One of the things you've got in your back pocket is that if you do score a goal, you got a pretty good chance of getting the ball back. I mean, Seamus Schofield went 14 of 15, and you got three guys, and with Griffin Strange, when he gets a chance, a fourth that can dominate that X.
Yeah, so let's keep talking about these positives, man. I mean, there's tons to build on. I think we're not in a position, nor I don't know if we'll ever be, Ted, where we come out and we in the first five, six games, we love everything we see. We don't have any negative experiences. I do think we could have handled things much better in a lot of different scenarios up until this point, but we're at where we're at. And, you know, I think knowing that we have great personnel in lots of different spots here. I mean, well, I'm watching film and going, okay, if this guy just does this a little bit more, but that again, it's going to be up to him. We're going to tell him, but it's going to be up to him. And I think our guys have tons of confidence at the faceoff X and whether and our ability to get the ball back and continue to fight there. And our wing play was a ton better on Saturday with Nick Sadi and Chafe and Ryan Miele's back in the mix here. He's fought his way back, one of our best freshmen. So things are pointing towards progress. It's been choppy up until this point, but we got to coach this team as it is, man, not how we wish it to be, or we're going to be underwhelmed. We got to meet the guys where they are and teach them how to be better. Because if we can win faceoffs like this, and I don't know if every game Seamus is going to go 14 to 15, Ted, but I mean, he's pretty darn good, And Mikey's ailments are hot and cold. He'll be back. There's no doubt he's a warrior. And Cole gives you who gave a amazing senior speech the night before this game. He's only been here a couple months, and his leadership capability and his experience is, I mean, just unreal. But I think we're happy with those guys, and they do give us confidence. So now it's up to the rest to continue to evolve their game so we don't see the same product out of individual players each week.
When you talk about shooting accuracy, one of your most accurate guys this year has been Connor DiTomaso. We saw him early in the season, mostly on the man up, starting to see him more in the regular offense. Are you going to try to find more time for him in the regular offense?
Yeah, I think so. He does it's funky. He does different things well. So, when he's in, you kind of got to adjust some things offensively, which Coach Brundage is great at, and he will. But yeah, I mean, Connor's got a great ability to score the ball, and he always has since he's been here. And this is one of his most focused years. From a work ethic standpoint and an execution every day standpoint. So, he's the guy that we think when his hands are free, he's pretty dangerous. So we're going to try to get him in that mix and get his hands free a little bit more.
You won the ground ball battle again in that game. It didn't go well for you at Robert Morris. You feel like you're getting back to a few more of those, what you call the bone plays, the kind of effort and want to plays.
Yeah, that was the focus of the whole week, Ted. Everybody wants to win, but what are you willing to do in order to earn a victory? And so again, steps, I'm not sure, a lot of like I keep telling you, Ted, we're judged on a 2 hour of week process, and nobody really gets to see what goes into this thing, unless you're in the building and making sure our guys knew. And that was the message I told you on the podcast and what I told the team. I'm like, I don't care about this outcome, but we're going to work harder than that team. Or in some statistical category, we're going to show that we care more about the details than our opponent. And so I'm very happy we out ground balled them by 11 or 10 or 11 or something like that. It's one of the first times. And so since we've had the victory against Bucknell and had the victory against Canisius and where we fought against Michigan and Cornell and Robert Morris is one of the things we focus on the most is how do we gain possession of the ball? Is it's on the ground, it's in a ride, it's in a clear, it's all that stuff. So all of those elements were pretty good on Saturday. And so I think again, when you look at the statistical breakdown, Ted, and I'm not a stat guy, but it's essentially a liar. You look at that thing and you go, okay, where do we lose? I don't see it. I mean, faceoffs are heavily swayed. We cleared the ball very well. We rode it back a few times. We beat them on the ground. They outshot us by five or six, and our goalie had more saves. So, where is it? We turned the ball over a little bit too much, and they shot it better than we did, And if we're going to play that hard and let the chips fall where they may, I like our chances here going forward.
Man up offense in lacrosse is a funny thing. When it's going well, it's like a football team that comes down and on their first drive and they score easy and then they don't score again. You had six man up goals in the first two games and it's tailed off since then. Is there something you can do to jumpstart that unit?
Yeah, we've got to look at a little bit of different personnel and challenge the personnel that's on it right now. Unfortunately, in a 2 day swing where you've got a game Tuesday, changing a lot ain't going to happen. So we've got to make sure that our guys in these specific spots and Coach Brundage is on it, are learning the minutiae of this man up better and doing a better job, just not just running whatever play we're running, but being better within that play. And so, our two corners, the bottom corners, have got to get a little bit more aggressive, and we also just gotta make sure we're shooting the ball a little bit more true. So, there are three man up opportunities that we had that Albany goalie makes pretty good saves. So, it's not dead in the water, but you look at the stats and you go, oh crap, look at these, these could be differences in the game. And I think going down the pipe here, they might be. So we've got to make sure that that's improving a ton with who's running it, the plays that we're running, and how they execute within them. I know those all sound obvious, but just because we have good players out there doesn't mean the ball is going to the back of the net.
I know that you're focused on your own team and probably don't have a lot of time to look at the wider picture across college lacrosse, but I spent a lot of time this past weekend just looking at some video and looking at scores, and it looks like the top and the bottom in Division I lacrosse has really started to squeeze. I mean, almost anybody can beat almost anybody these days.
Yeah, I think so. There are some scenarios where you look at some rosters, and I mean, there's kind of JV and varsity in some sense, like an ACC roster or a Big Ten roster, or some Ivy Leagues too. I mean, the amount of fifth and sixth year players on some Ivy League rosters are is impressive. But I agree with you, Ted. I think the resilience and the endurance that we talk about throughout a season is paramount right now. This will, a 2-4 team can become an 8-4 team very quickly. And now you're talking about playing with momentum at the time where it really matters. Now, that's a ton easier said than done, and lots has to work out for us. But I think the media does such a great job of highlighting every single solitary weekend, and the poll changes, and this team's first, and that team's this, and da-da-da-da. Like it's like if we read into that stuff, I started our coaches meeting today with the phrase, comparison's the thief of joy. If we're comparing ourselves to all of these other teams and their journeys, and that we're doomed. But if we can understand that ideology first, Ted, that everything's right in front of us here. You got to endure some bumps and bruises and figure out a way to continue to love to play this game for Hobart, for each other, for your families, all that stuff. If it becomes burden and you're outcome driven, then it's going to be a long season for anybody. But if you can go, hey, look, we got what we need here. Don't tell me we don't. Let's add some things to it. Let's make sure we endure and learn from those first couple of games where, it break down the scenario, Ted. We're playing Canisius. We don't know who they are. Like we're playing Michigan, and because it's Michigan, it's like, holy cow. But I don't think Michigan's that great. They're okay. It's so all of those things that mold into your experiences, that's what we want a Hobart roster to understand. Is, however we got to this point, this is where we are. And if we're as tough and resilient and we persevere like we talk about, then everything's still available. But in the last two seasons, Ted, if I were to look back, we didn't do that. We didn't find a way to have a next gear. We didn't find a way to have a higher level of confidence and to execute better on a game day scenario. So that's where your coaching staff's at right now. It's okay, let's not make these same mistakes. Let's look at this thing a little differently. Let's look at these next 2 weeks very differently leading into conference play and see if our guys can't do the same exact thing. And then again, we'll see where we're at when the A-10 rolls around in a couple weeks here. But can't skip steps. We got to be where we are.
Tell us about this Lemoyne team. They don't shoot that well. They don't face off that well. Their man up isn't very good. The only thing they do well is win. They're 3-1, and the numbers don't look like it. So how are they doing it?
Well, one, they got a Hobart guy leading as their leading scorer. So, we love Zach Delaney, man, and are bummed that he's on an opposite sideline tomorrow. But I think if you look at his ability to play, I think it's a great a great analogy to how they do things. Zach is not a wow ya with speed or with power or a dynamic 400-mile-an-hour shot, but he's got some of that stuff, and he plays within himself. You know, he's a smart player, and I think that's who he's surrounded by. A team that knows exactly who they are and knows how they can win games. They got to win games by, you know, playing half field defense like anybody, but they're committed completely to it. They're coached well. They have a very veteran coach. They have a team that I think has a big chip on their shoulder because of where they're at, D2 to D1, and you know they want to impact the regular season because the postseason is not available for them yet. So I just you know I think we're going to get a very hungry team with a lot of momentum that feels like they got a Hobart roster that is questioning who they are, and we've got to make sure as we approach this game, we know what they're capable of, but also we have a lot of great focus on Hobart and who we want to be in that 60-minute period on Tuesday afternoon.
They don't get a high number of shots, but they're very accurate. Is that by design? Do they really kind of hold the ball and be deliberate about the kind of shots they take?
Yeah, I don't think they hold the ball, but they are deliberate. I think they do. They have good stick work, and they pack a defense in. I think one of the biggest things about them is they don't take a ton of shots outside of 10 yards, and so their ability to finish in tighter or a high percentage shot. I think that's where Coach Sheehan's pretty great. Is he's like, this is a good shot, but this one's much better. And so let's and I think they have slick enough sticks and good enough athleticism to have the ball for a bit. So, you know, I think we've got to be ready to defend some long possessions and also know that they're better inside of 10 yards than they are outside of it. So we're going to have to match their intellect and brain from a here's how we attack versus how we play defense.
What are some of your other points of emphasis going to be for Tuesday?
That if we've made the choice, like we've talked about, after, you know, a shoddy week 2 weeks ago, if we've made the choice at that crossroads I presented to the team, then you can't go back. You know, if you know, we're prepared to show them all these fast, loud, and tough plays that we made on Saturday, and we're not going to coddle them or blow smoke anywhere, Ted. I mean, we lost, and you know, I don't want them to feel great about losing. But if you're talking about answering a challenge at a place where, you know, Ted, the Hobart's filled with challenges, man. It's the nature of the beast where we're at. We're playing a high-level Division I schedule, and it's going to create some difficulties. And we're not above any adversity, man. We're just there to think that you are is foolish. But our guys seem to be in a place where they're willing to take steps forward. They're willing to look a challenge in the eye, and this is an excellent challenge for us. You know, playing well and getting beat on Saturday is also an experience that we haven't had yet. So if you look back at the season, all these first six games, we've hit every scenario. We've been up, we've beat the crap out of a team, we've won a one-goal game with a defensive stop, we went up by six goals against the number two team in the country. You know, and then we allowed them to gain excellent momentum. We disrespected an opponent and let temperature affect how we played. And then we bounced back, and a team scored more goals than us, where we feel like we played a pretty good game in a lot of different spots. So I don't know if there's a ton more to deal with. You know, I don't know if there's a ton more where maybe an overtime game. We haven't had that yet. But I mean, heck, Ted, we're six games in. And I should have the most callous team with the thickest skin in the country. And that's how we're going to look at this thing. And so if we're tough, we're going to act like it. And we've just got to make sure we make the choice to be.
When we were down at Robert Morris, I was in a music store, and there was a sign on the wall that said, "It's not about being great, it's about being better than you were yesterday."
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, that's kind of what our core values are all about. You know, core value of fast would mean that we are present, would mean that we trust our decision making, would mean that we are in a place where we're ready to play at a pace that we're proud of. And then our loud core value is about what kind of pride do we play with? What does the name on the front of the jersey mean? Will it keep projecting us forward? Are we going to communicate in a game and an away environment? And the tough is, what you just mentioned. You know, can we learn from previous experiences and not dwell on them? That's a tough team. What kind of endurance do you have? So, yeah, if we're better than we were yesterday, then Tuesday afternoon could be a special stepping stone for us. But we got to do it, man. You know, no one's going to do it for us.
All right, it's Hobart at LeMoyne Tuesday afternoon, 3 o'clock. That game is on 105.7 WHWS, and then we'll have another podcast later on this week for the Dartmouth matchup coming in this weekend, a matchup with the Big Green. You can find this podcast wherever you get podcasts, be it Apple, Spotify, Google, and of course, all your athletics information on hwsathletics.com. We've been with the coach of the Statesman, Greg Raymond. Good luck, and we look forward to seeing a strong effort Tuesday.
Thanks, Ted.